Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. Trafford Veterans is a group of armed forces veterans, emergency services personnel and local volunteers all live in the Trafford area. The group was formed in 2015 after its founding members, Royal Navy veteran Claire Wright and British veteran Chris Squires, left the armed forces. Claire Wright, by the way, these days is known as Claire Squires. Just thought I'd point that out before we do the introduction. Trafford Veterans hold events and activities across the local area. They encourage people to take part, to get involved and to share their hobbies and skills. And I'm delighted to welcome Royal Navy veteran and co-founder of Trafford Veterans, Claire Squires. Welcome.
Hi.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the Trafford Veterans, tell me something about yourself and life before the Veterans.
Grew up in Stretford, Manchester. Always wanted to join up from being probably about the age of 12.
Did you have a job before you joined the Navy?
Yeah, I worked at Trafford Leisure Services. So I worked at Sale Leisure Centre for years.
What attracted you to a life at sea?
I always wanted to join up because from being small, we used to go on holiday to Cornwall and we'd go to St Ives and my mum and dad would take us to the air shows and we used to go to the air base down there and the helicopters used to come overhead and the pilots would wave out the window, you know, and I thought, wow, I'm going to work on one of those one day.
Really?
Yeah.
How did Trafford Veterans come about?
Well, back in 2015, we needed some support ourselves and we didn't really know where to go and what to do. You've got the big military charities, but they're difficult to access. They didn't seem to have a local footprint. So we thought that there might be other families and other people within that live close by that might want to connect or, you know, do something. So we set up a breakfast event to get these people coming in, you know, to connect. You miss the camaraderie and the banter from being in the forces. So we thought we'd do something about it.
So you set it up with Chris, your husband?
Yeah.
So would you say that Chris and yourself were reaching out and looking for something to help yourselves and offer you guys some kind of support? Was there nothing there? Or tell me about that. What happened? How did the forming of the veterans come about? Were you both ex-services?
Yeah, people? Like I say, you've got the bigger military charities, but they've got no local footprint. You don't know where to go. So having, you know, an activity to go to that brings local people together that have all got a common interest or, you know, could share their experiences, that wasn't in place. So that's what made us, you know, set things up, really.
How do you reach out to ex-services personnel and how do they get to hear about you?
Well, we're all over social media. So we're on, you know, sort of Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. We've got a website. We attend a lot of community events where we give out leaflets and a lot of it's word of mouth as well. And we do get referrals as well sometimes.
Now, it's pretty obvious to me, Claire, that many men and women risk their lives on a daily basis serving in the armed forces and the emergency services. I would guess that for some, life can present a set of very different challenges and perhaps a bit of a struggle after leaving. What sort of challenges do people face? And maybe without naming names or embarrassing people specifically and obviously maintaining their dignity, can you tell me about that? Do people face challenges?
Yeah, I suppose so. Not everybody does face challenges, but some do. Because you are trained to do a job and you run towards things rather than away from them. So when you leave the forces, you're not detrained and you're still in that mindset. You are different. Your sense of humour is different because you use dark humour to cope with some of the things that you've had to deal with or seen. And it's just very, very different. One minute you could be stood on an aircraft carrier with jets taking off. And then when you leave and get your first civilian job and you're in an office, it's very, very different, very quiet, different environment. So people struggle with that. We've had quite a few people struggle with finding a doctor or a dentist. You know, you move into a new area or you go back to your roots, but you've always had medical care provided by the services. So when you come into the NHS, you've not necessarily got a record. So that can be a challenge.
I've heard stories, and I don't know how true these are. There are some stories that suggest that they don't know how to look after themselves because they've always been looked after. Surely it's not as bad as that.
It's getting better now. I mean, historically, you used to have, you know, your rent paid for, your food taken out of your pay. So you used to get your pay in your hand and you didn't have anything to, any outlay. So when you leave, it comes as a shock that you do have extra bills to pay, you know.
Okay.
But now they've introduced pay as you dine and it's a bit different. People are being educated a bit more with the finances.
Now, you were a helicopter engineer.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to go in one?
I never used to fly in them. But we used to do a lot of turnaround services, and when we were sent to Africa, we were flown into Sierra Leone in a Chinook.
That's nice. I know that's a big one.
Yeah. I've been flown with the RAF a couple of times, been to Norway twice in Hercules, nice 12-hour flight back from Africa as well in the back of one.
Trafford veterans organise events and activities in local areas across the Trafford area that encourage people to engage and get involved, take part, mix, mingle, socialise and share their interests and hobbies and skills. I'm going to go back to almost why people might want to get involved, but do people feel left out, isolated and lonely?
Some do, yeah.
Yeah, and so they get in touch or turn up at your events and things?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great because we've encouraged people to share their hobbies and skills and they then volunteer and run the groups. So it gives them a purpose, gives them something to look forward to. We've got a model and craft making group, an allotment project, the breakfast event. You know, people have got different skills to bring to each one.
And this is something else that's really interesting about Trafford Veterans. These different activities and events that you guys organise and stage, they're all in different areas of the borough.
Yeah.
And that's something I've not come across before. That's quite interesting. Are you going to the areas where the interest is?
Well, there's no centralised town in Trafford. It's a series of towns, isn't it, when you look at it? You know, you've got Aldringham, Sale, Partington, Stretford, Urmston, Old Trafford. So there's different communities. So having the different groups in different places makes it more accessible.
It says a monthly breakfast in Flixton.
Yeah.
The model makings in Stretford.
Yeah.
The allotments in Sale.
Yeah, Sale Moor.
Is it difficult for ex-armed forces personnel to integrate back into civilian life, would you say?
Not for everybody.
No.
Some.
And there wasn't an organisation in Trafford until you decided to set one up?
There wasn't anything specific like this, no. Right.
So this is very much more localised and
accessible
for local people.
Yeah.
So it's not wearing that regional stroke national badge.
No, because it gets too big then and you can't, it's unmanageable then, I think. If you stay local, I mean, we do get people coming from out of the area into the activities as well.
Right, brilliant.
And it's good to work with our, you know, say Stockport, Tameside, Salford. They've all, you know, our neighbouring boroughs have all got veterans groups. So it's good to link in with them as well.
And I think that makes Trafford Veterans a great example of local people recognising the need and doing something about it. Now, since Trafford Veterans started, have you had to learn things as you go along and maybe undertake some changes in your approach? Is it a little bit like sailing by the seat of your pants, or are you much more organised and planned?
We're getting more organised now, but to set up a group from scratch, it's been a huge learning curve, you know, from being a community group. It's all the you know, the insurances, the policies and procedures and all sorts of stuff, the social media. And then we became a CIC, a community interest company, in 2020. So there's a lot more stuff that goes with that now. We're accountable to Companies House. There's all sorts of forms to fill in. Yeah, it's been a huge learning curve.
What do you think local people think about veterans and veterans hubs, veterans associations generally? I'm talking about awareness. For example, I'm sure most individuals in the wider community have got a good understanding and appreciation of the important roles that you've previously played. But do you think that that awareness stretches to understanding and appreciating the many issues and problems and support needs that service veterans may have in everyday living or trying to live normal civilian lives? Is that a strange question? Everybody knows what the Army and the Navy and the Air Force is, but I'm just wondering if people have an appreciation that actually people leave these services.
The focus really is on remembrance. So everybody comes out to the cenotaph and does the, you know, the remembrance parades. but where are they the rest of the year? You know, support is a yearly thing, not just during November.
So the perception, the wider perception, may be just focused on 2 minutes in November.
Yeah, I think so. And also, when you say the word veteran as well, people automatically think of World War II and the old boys and girls. And really, some of the younger people that have come out of the forces don't consider themselves as veterans because they're not old and the older age bracket.
So you don't have to have been in World War II to qualify as a veteran?
Yeah. With the government definition of an armed forces veteran is somebody who's drawn one day's pay.
Okay.
There's no age limit on it. And you can have served in the Merchant Navy as well, as long as you've been in a certain conflict zone.
Okay. I guess that you're part of the good stuff that goes in your community. I would describe your community as a connected community, rather than a community of people who live in on the same estate. This is more like community of circumstance. You've all been through the same type of experiences together. So let's talk strong links, I guess, alongside the veterans, Trafford veterans. I would imagine that there are other veterans associations, hubs and clubs in other parts of Greater Manchester. Do you have a good relationship with them?
Yeah, there's lots of good work going on, lots of different projects, and it's good to connect with them.
So what type of stuff happens? I'm assuming this is more regional than local, or do you just share each other's events and activities and invite members from other organisations along?
Sometimes we do, yeah. Some projects are just starting up, so it'd be interesting to see what they're delivering. There's the breakfast clubs. We can visit each other's. We quite often go to different breakfast clubs. There's another allotment over in Tameside, so maybe you could set up a trip over there from our veterans over here.
When I came to visit you, possibly about 6 months ago now, there were some guys drumming.
Yeah.
Well, tell me the story about them, because are they a separate group to you guys, or are they part and parcel of what you do?
They're a separate group. You know, we've offered to help them. So they're using the space, and they come and do the drumming practice. The Northwest Veterans Corps of Drums.
Ah. I suppose, and I'm not talking in every case, but perhaps some circumstances, and for some people it might take a bit of courage for someone to get in touch and engage with you. How do you approach someone attending for the first time? Is it about hello and welcome and get stuck in, or is it more about getting to know the individual? Perhaps their interests, their likes and dislikes, encouraging them, maybe finding out through due course about maybe certain problems and difficulties that they may be facing and their issues or concerns or their fears? Or do things like this just eventually come out through engagement and confidence building?
Well, it depends on the person, really.
In every instance, I would imagine.
Yeah, we've got people that just come straight in and get stuck in, and then we've got people that are a bit more hesitant, you know. But when you've got people together doing an activity, and they're settled, they're more likely to speak to people that have been through similar things. And that's when they open up, and that's when they say, well, actually, I might need a bit of help. And it, you know, that's where we make referrals into partner agencies and do what we can to support them.
How do you fund your activities?
We apply for grants. We do some fundraising ourselves. We sell a bit of military kit and camping gear. We get donations, and we need to say thank you to Forever Manchester, actually, because they've been really supportive over the past few years. The simple things like, you know, paying the room hire on the modelling craft group that's been going for the past 6 years, without applying for the, you know, the micro grants to keep it going, we wouldn't have that support and wouldn't have that activity.
Now, listen, alongside your normal activities, I would imagine that given your services backgrounds, there may occasionally be a need to step up to the mark to help out with other things. For example, did the pandemic have an impact?
Absolutely, yeah.
And how did Trafford Veterans respond, both to maybe supporting its members and also to getting involved in supporting the wider community?
What people seem to forget is that the forces have a lot of humanitarian experience. You know, quite often you get asked the first thing, oh, have you fired a gun? Or have you been to war? And you're like, well, I was in Africa in 2000 when it flooded, you know, and our helicopters went in and rescued people. And then we built a hut and a cookhouse and a school. You know, there's a lot of humanitarian skills. Yeah. I mean, who gets called up when the firefighters are on strike? You know, who drives the fire engines, the ambulances? Who built the hospitals for COVID, who shores up the dams. So there's a lot of skills there. And what we found when the lockdown came in was our local council had set up these emergency hubs, and there was a huge amount of volunteers experienced there with logistics that were not being tapped into. And I did raise this, and eventually we began to help move the food parcels around and help out.
So in the background, you were sort of hub to hub rather than door to door?
We did actually go door to door. This is because we had a lady phone us who was, she'd been in to do a bit of shopping, couldn't get any bread or milk. She was in her 90s. There was a lot of panic buying going on, got a bit pushed about. She was quite upset. And it made us think that we need to do something to support these people that haven't got any family close by. So a local business sponsored us, and they gave us £1,500. And then also we applied for a grant from Forever Manchester, which we were successful with. I think that was £1,000 as well. And it helped us fuel the van. And for the next 54 weeks, we delivered food parcels to people's doors.
Brilliant. How do you see the future? Have you got any exciting plans? Anything happening in the on the horizon?
Yeah,
around the corner?
It'd be good to get into areas like, you know, Partington and Old Trafford, where we haven't currently worked very much. We do have a plan to do a mobile veterans hub.
See, that's exciting, isn't it?
It is. We just hope we can get it across the line.
I gather that means that you would be able to be more mobile, be able to cover more of the borough.
Yeah. Get to people that wouldn't necessarily come out to our activities. We can go closer to their home. It's more accessible.
Claire, we could chat all day, but I'm going to round off with a few quickfire questions or observations to wrap up with. And you can come back at me with quickfire answers and perhaps one or two comments if you wish. I noticed that you, Trafford Veterans, have a Facebook following in excess of 60,000 people.
Yeah.
That's about six times more than Forever Manchester.
Really?
Yeah, it's massive. My uncle was the chief petty officer on the Ark Royal. Did you know that?
Was he?
He was indeed. What ships were you on?
Illustrious.
Oh, very nice. Going back to your Facebook page, I noticed that it comes with a warning to the easily offended.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
It's just the humour. You know, the humour's different. Yeah, so the title, it does actually give a bit of a disclaimer and a snowflake medal. Yeah, it's just a bit of a warning that some of the jokes can be a bit different.
And I believe that one of the lovely things that you guys do, you don't shout about it too often, but one of the things that you really do is you support funerals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, is that like sending somebody to play the last post? Or?
Yeah, so what we usually do is we purchase a flag for the family to keep, and that usually goes on the coffin like a regimental flag. We do have a Union flag coffin drape, which we lend to the funeral directors if they don't have one. Sometimes, if you've got enough people, we'll have a guard of honour that will line the driveway to come to attention. We also have people that we know that are standard bearers that will lead them in. So.
Brilliant. Claire, thank you for taking the time to chat to me today. Can I wish you and everything you do at Trafford Veterans and everyone that you engage and influence every success, and may we wish you every continued success for the future. Claire Squires, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.